Lord. It's good to be here. Are you happy you're here?
Amen.
Let me say, are you happy to be here?
Amen.
That's much better. Much better. Ladies, what do you feel like? Like when your husband says, I'm going to take you out to a nice restaurant, real nice restaurant. You got your heart set on going to that restaurant. At the last minute, he says, nah, I changed my mind. We're going to go to this restaurant. After your heart's already set on going to that place. That's what God did to me. I had my message down pat as to what I was going to preach tonight. And God says, no, you're not. Amen. And I said, yes, I am. And he said, no, you're not. And he didn't give me peace all night long until I finally said, okay, I'll do it. It's a message I haven't preached in quite a while, but God led me to preach this message tonight. So you then have to ask yourself, why did God want him to preach that message to us? Right? Let a man examine himself. So let's see if the shoe fits. If it does, put it on. If not, then pass it off. Okay? All right. Turn your Bible tonight to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It's been a blessing for me and my wife to be here. You know, the revival has been greatly attended. I can tell you this, that I go around the country and, you know, you might see a crowd like this on a Sunday morning, but, you know, then on a Sunday night again, and then on a Monday night, and then on a Tuesday night, and now it's a Wednesday night. Folks, if I had a hat on, I'd take it off to you. Amen. But, I mean, you're doing a tremendous job. Keep with it. Hold fast the form of sound words. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5, look at verse 21. And when Jesus was passing over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Father, I need you tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would come in here and fill this place, just like in the Old Testament, where you filled the temple with a cloud. Lord, they couldn't even minister because it was so thick with the presence of God. I pray, Lord, you would come in here like that tonight. And God, help all of us to see exactly what you have for us from the preaching of your word. Help us to do something with it, lest we just hear it in vain. We love you and thank you. Pray you be honored and glorified in all things said and done, for it's in Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Now, this guy's a ruler in the synagogue, folks. That's a pretty high position. A very high position, and especially when the Jews were not so sure about this guy named Jesus. And now all of a sudden, a ruler of the synagogue is falling down at his feet and begging him to follow him to his house to heal his daughter who is sick on the point of death. It takes great humility. But I want you to see that what Jesus did immediately, it says, and Jesus went with him. Jesus didn't ask him any questions. Jesus didn't expect anything extra out of him. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask if you were saved and baptized. Jesus went with him. What did Jesus recognize in this man that caused him to immediately, without any questions being asked, to follow him? Humility. Faith. Courage. Trust. He had to have courage. Remember, Nicodemus was a ruler in the synagogues. He came to Jesus by night. Why? Because he was afraid. He'd get kicked out of the synagogue. This guy did not care one bit. He said, my daughter is at the point of death, and I need Jesus' help right now. And so nothing else mattered. See, you might have some real concerns tonight. Sitting here tonight, I don't know your individual lives, but you might have some real concerns, some things that are very heavy on your heart. Why do you say that, preacher? Because I've got some things that are very heavy on my heart. My wife has some things that are very heavy on her heart. I can only imagine, if we're all men of like passions, that you have some things that are very heavy on your heart. And Jesus went with him immediately to take care of the problem. And Jesus is willing to go with you tonight. Immediately with you. No questions asked. Remember when Peter walked to Jesus on the water and he started to sink? And Peter said, Lord, save me. And it doesn't say that Jesus asked him a bunch of questions first. It doesn't say, Peter, how come you're sinking? You were walking on the water, now you're sinking. Please explain to me why now you're sinking. It doesn't say any of that. It says immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately. And all through the Old Testament, you'll read his hand is stretched out still. Amen. His hand is stretched out tonight for you. Amen. The same way he went with Jairus. Jairus wasn't a saved man at that point. He went with Jairus to go help heal his daughter. He'll help you tonight. Whatever is that heavy, troubling thing on your heart. But one thing God does ask for is some humility. Humility. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Look in your Bible now at Mark chapter 5 and in verse 25. And it says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, you need to understand what an issue of blood meant. So turn over your Bible to Leviticus chapter 15 so we can see exactly what that meant. Leviticus chapter 15. This is a physical healing that Jesus is about to do because it had to deal with her body. Leviticus 15 and in verse 19, the Bible says, and if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean even until the even. And it said, folks, that she had this issue for 12 years. I mean, she was not a young girl. She was a woman. She was a woman. And now at this point in her life, she's an outcast of society. She had an issue of blood. Nobody's to touch her. Nobody's to touch anything that she touches. She's an outcast. And I want you to put yourself in that position. You know, it was nothing she did. You know, it's not like she went out and committed some sin. She had a problem. She had an issue, a medical condition, which then causes her to be an outcast in society. And she didn't know who she could turn to. You know, the Bible even goes on to say in verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians. I mean, I'm sure you can relate to that. Some of you that have had medical conditions, and you go to one doctor and he says to do this, you go to another doctor, he says to do this, and then this doctor and this doctor. I had some cardiac issues. They thought that I might have some blockage. I had a high cardiac score. So I go to one doctor and they tell me to, you know, eat vegetables and, you know, try and eat as many green leafy vegetables as you can. Then I go to another doctor, he's a cardiac specialist from Vanderbilt University, and he tells me to go on the carnivore diet. That's all meat. And forget the vegetables. Who do you believe? And it says that she suffered many things of many physicians. You know, when I went over to my dad's house, I'd go into his bathroom sometimes, and, you know, he had so many drugs. you take this drug, and then, oh, you're going to have a side effect from this drug, so you need this drug to counteract the side effect from this drug. And, oh, and this one here is going to cause some problems, so you're going to need this drug to counteract the side effects of this drug. And he had a gazillion drugs that he was taking. And he just had problems after problems after problems listening to the doctors. Now, I'm not against doctors at all. I believe in doctors. Luke was a physician, you know, so I'm not against doctors. But I do believe there are some things that only God can do. I believe that. I believe there are some things that only God can do. Remember, at the end of his life, Asa turned to the doctors instead of to God. And he died of a disease in his feet. God wanted him to turn to him, but he turned to the doctors instead. There are something, doctors are human, just like me and you. They have limited amount of knowledge. That's why they call what they do a practice. They are practicing, amen, on you. And so as they continue to learn, they get smarter and smarter and smarter. Remember in the old days, they used to let blood out. They'd cut you and bleed you, thinking that the impurity and the sickness would come out with the blood into the bowl. You know, they never washed their hands before one surgery to the next. Or if they did wash, they washed in a basin, not with running water, to get the germs off. They learned, they practiced. And, you know, this poor woman, she suffered many things. Not, it doesn't say few, many things from many physicians. Talk about discouragement. Don't you think that cost her living? So number one, she had no friends. She was an outcast. She had no money. She wasted it all on the physicians. Talk about being discouraged, depressed, to the point of hopelessness, hopeless. You know, I am feeling the effects of old age. I am. I am. I thought, when I was 60, I thought I felt like I was 40. I mean, I could do anything, but you know, now I'm 65. And yeah, I know. And it's kind of like exponentially getting worse. So now, in order for me to fall asleep at night, everything, now, I could just, used to just lay down, plop in a bed, I'd be out. Not now. Now, everything has to be perfect. The temperature cannot be 66, it has to be 67. If it's 68, it's too warm. Has to be 67. So every night before I go to bed, I go and check the thermostat. It has to be 67. Then I lay my head on my pillow, and my pillow better be perfectly on each side of my head. I can't, if it's all the way over here, that doesn't work. If it's all the way over here, it's got to be right in the middle. My feet cannot be covered. I got to pull the blanket up so my piggy toes are out. I can't have anything to my left or to my right. So if my wife's pillow's pushing against my arm, I push it back her way. Both are, it's got, I almost look like I'm in a casket. I'm preparing, amen? My head is on the pillow right in the middle, both arms down just like this. If I was definitely gonna die the next year, I'd be doing this. So I'm good, for now. And everything has to be just right. Now, if I'm too warm, I'll throw off one of the covers. I mean, the temperature has to be, everything has to be right. Then I can go to sleep. Then I got to put on this thing called a CPAP machine. You know, feel like Darth Vader. So I got to put that thing on, because if I snore, I'll keep my wife awake. I mean, there's just so many things. And then if I have to get out of the bed in the middle of the night to use the restroom, you know, I take off the CPAP, and that makes a big, you know, rushing wind sound and wakes my wife up. So I take that thing off real quietly, put it to the side, and then it finally goes off on its own. And then to get out of my bed, I hate to say this, I have to take this leg and throw it over my body in order to get out of my bed. It used to be just sit up. I can't. I can't sit up anymore. Not in those foam mattresses. You know, they you just sink down in them, and it's hard to get out of them. You can't even turn. I like to turn at night. Can't even turn easily. Nothing's easy anymore. And I sit down in my chair, and whenever I sit down, I make noises, and whenever I get up, I make noises. And my grandkids are around. They go, Papa, why do you make all those noises? Because I'm 65. That's why. Oh. Then you're sitting down here for about what? 20 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, and then try and get up. And everything cracks, and everything creaks, and you got to walk like this for about 5 steps, be a Neanderthal, before which time you come up and be a human. And this is all fun, man. Getting old is really fun. I'm having a great time. Retirement's wonderful. But, you know, we get older. And you know, we need more help with doctors. And I understand what this woman went through as far as how much money she was spending. I was just for my health insurance, just me. A couple of years ago, I was spending, before I got on Medicare, I was spending over $1,000 a month just on me, not even including my wife. Over $1,000 a month. I can understand this woman, you know, suffered many things because of the physicians. Oh, and one other thing. You ever wake up in the middle of the night, you can't open your eyes because your eyelids are now stuck? You got to do that because the muscles in your eyes aren't strong enough anymore to even open your stinking eyes. Getting old is fun. Boy, you kids got something to look forward to. Wonderful. And you got to comb your hair differently so no one can see your scalp. Take power naps every day. Just a few weeks ago, I was at the house. And my wife was in the kitchen, and she heard me going, and she goes, honey, you okay? I mean, you having a heart attack? What is it? I said, nope, just tying my shoes. That's all it was. I was bending over. Man. And I'm a cheap date. I can now I can seriously watch the same movie 5 times for the first time. And totally forget, my wife thought, you've already watched this before. I said, no, I've never seen this before. I'm a cheap date now. The older you get, the cheaper it gets, amen? And now we go out to dinner. I used to get a plate of food. Man, I used to be able to eat. Now we get one entree and we split it. And I look like a Kentucky Fried idiot in a restaurant. You're this big guy, big burly guy, eating a little piece of hamburger like this and then cutting that in half, taking half of that home. Yeah, things are wonderful. But cheaper, definitely cheaper. But the Bible says there in verse 26 that she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. Oh, but it would have been one thing to be nothing better, but she grew worse. After all the money that was spent, after all the doctors that were seen, and after all the people that had cast her out, she was the worse for it. You know, someone like this in this kind of a situation, you might understand that her only hope might have been the Lord Jesus Christ. She had no hope. And folks, the Bible says that when we didn't have Christ, we were without hope in this world. Amen. We had no hope. You know, your baptism could not have gotten you to heaven. Going to church could not have gotten you to heaven. Living a good life could not have gotten you to heaven. I was a Catholic. Keeping all the sacraments could not have gotten me to heaven. Taking Holy Communion, doing my confession, all of that, none of that could have gotten me to heaven. I was without hope. All the money in the world couldn't have gotten me to heaven. And it doesn't matter if Granddaddy was a preacher. It couldn't have gotten you to heaven. The only thing that can get you to heaven is Jesus Christ. Amen. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we were hopeless in this world. We were hopeless from a spiritual standpoint. This woman right here is hopeless also from a spiritual standpoint, but right here definitely of a physical standpoint. A discouraged. You can just imagine her discouragement. Maybe some in here have felt the same way, gone to the doctors, have health issues. you know, and just people praying for you, and you're just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And I understand that, but I can tell you there's one that understands it better than I do.
Amen.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. You know what that means? There was a crowd there. There was a crowd. There was a lot of people. There was a multitude of people there. But it says that she came in a press behind. Why? Why behind? Why was she trying to be so isolated? Why was she so concerned about being seen? She was unclean. Nobody could touch her. Nobody could touch her. She was an outcast. She was almost like a leper. You know, and if they had seen her right there in the middle of this multitude, people would have started screaming and running from her. But she knew that she needed to get to Jesus. She knew she needed to get to Jesus. And Christian, there might be something in here tonight. There might be something spiritual. There might be something emotional. There might be something physical that you need to get to Jesus over. But he requires humility. He requires some effort on your part. Her design was to go unnoticed, but it says in the second part of that verse, and touched his garment. You know what she basically did, folks? She basically got down as low as she could. She covered her head so no one could recognize her. She wanted to go unnoticed. And she just got an arm's distance from Jesus, just close enough. We're keeping her head down where she could reach through the multitude and just touch the hem of his garment. She believed in her heart that if I could do that, I could be healed. Because he could give me what no doctor could give me. He could give me what no medicine could give me. He's the only one that could make me whole physically and heal me of this disease, which caused me to be an outcast. You might consider yourself an outcast. I know people that have. They feel like they don't fit. They don't fit, whether it be in church, whether it be in business, whether it be in family, where, no matter where, I just don't fit. Jesus Christ has a place for you. I want you to know that you are uniquely and wonderfully made just the way you are. Just the way you are. When I was first started preaching, I used to think, well, this preacher, people love listening to this preacher. He's got so many great jokes. This preacher over here, he has so much knowledge, like about the King James Bible and all the rest, and so much history. I gotta learn more history. And then this preacher over here, he uses such great illustrations. Man, people just love listening to him preach. What a following this guy has, and this guy has, and this guy has. And then God tapped me on the shoulder one night around 3:00 in the morning and wouldn't let me fall asleep for the rest of the night. And he said, Paul, just be you. You're uniquely, wonderfully, magnificently made. I made you. I'm the potter. I made you to be you. And if you're not you, that leaves a schism. That leaves a gap. Because I made you to be that person. And if you're not in the position you're supposed to be in, there's a gap. And I need this whole body fitly joined together to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Paul, just be you. And that's why I'm saying to each and every one of you, you don't have to be this preacher. You don't have to be like the deacon. You don't have to be like the pastor's wife. You don't have, just be you. Be everything God wants you to be. And that woman, she knew that the only one that could help her in her situation was Jesus Christ. Who's going to help you be you to the fulfillment of what God created you for? Jesus Christ can help you, but you have to want it. You have to desire it. God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? And touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, you got to remember, right about now, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus is with Jesus. Jairus' daughter's on the point of death, right? My daughter lies at home. She's dying. Come and heal her. Would you think that Jairus, being a ruler of the synagogue, having fallen down at the feet of Jesus, do you think that he might have a sense of urgency? And here's this woman coming and halting Jesus and stopping him on his journey to Jairus' house. How do you think Jairus is taking this? Does it say somewhere in the Bible that Jairus is screaming and hollering and says, you said you'd help me first. My daughter's dying. She's not dying. She's got an issue of blood. My daughter's dying. I think I have a little bit stronger sense of urgency. I came to you first. We don't read anything about that. The only thing I can see out of Jairus is he believed. He believed that Jesus knew how to go, what to do, and when to go. Amen. And that Jesus could do whatever Jesus needed to do and wanted to do. Amen. Strong faith. Unsaved man, strong faith. Christian, you have to believe. Yes. Belief is so important to God. He wants you to have faith. Do you know the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him? No, wait a minute. Revelation 4:11 says we were created for his pleasure. If we don't have faith, we can't even live up to the purpose for which we were created. Amen. We're created for his pleasure. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let me ask you, what is he not capable of doing in your life? What is he not capable of doing? You see, the Bible says, the corresponding portion of scripture over in the book of Matthew says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Because the hem, you need to see this. Turn over to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. And in verse 38, it says, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. All I can think of, this was a very righteous woman. She must have been a very righteous woman to have gone up and grabbed a hold of that hem, which signifies doing the commandments of God. She was basically saying, God, I'm doing everything you told me to do. I'm being obedient, and God, I'm asking you to give me that which I can't do for myself. I'm asking you to give me that which a doctor can't do for me, and all the medicines can't do for me, and all the money that I spent can't do for me, and all these people here that have cast me out can't do for me. I'm asking you, God, to only do what only you can do. Faith. Faith. We're living in some very perilous times. Perilous times shall come, the Bible says, in the last days. We better have faith. Better have faith. Imagine the embarrassment, ladies. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a lady, but I know that ladies are very conscious, you know, about those blood issues. It's very humiliating and it can be extremely embarrassing. But this woman, it was even worse. This woman was, because of her issue of blood, she was cast out. Get out. And what courage it had to have taken for her to come into that crowd, to come into that multitude, knowing she could have been stoned, she could have been beaten, she could have been, you know, whatever could have happened. But she knew her only hope was Jesus Christ. And tonight, whatever's heavy on your heart, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, whether it be spiritually, there's only one person that can help you in that. There's only one. I want you to imagine her faith, her hope, her courage, her trust. The Bible says there, let's go back to our text of Mark chapter 5. And in verse 29, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately. Immediately. That's, you know, my dear friend, Greg Reinhardt, he's a pastor down in Panama City, Florida. And, you know, he had prostate cancer. And a typical prostate reading for a guy that's healthy will be probably less than 2, between 0 and 2. His was 110. Stage 4 prostate cancer. When they caught it, it was stage 4. And he just had people across the country praying for him. Praying for him. Everyone knew Brother Greg Reinhardt. The whole country was praying for Brother Greg Reinhardt. He didn't do 1 ounce of chemo. He didn't do 1 ounce of radiation. He just started to eat right and listen to what some of the experts said to do. From a natural standpoint, he just wanted to, you know, he said, if I do chemo and radiation, I won't enjoy my last days on this earth. And if God's going to take me, I want to at least enjoy it up to when he takes me. But I'm going to do all I can do, and I'm going to pray for God to do all he can do, and we'll see what happens. Today, his PSA is less than 1. It's lower than mine. Jesus Christ did that by faith, by faith. So not only was she healed physically, look in verse 30, she was also healed emotionally. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" You don't think Jesus knew? Of course he knew. He could have kept his eyes closed and pointed right to her. He knew exactly who it was. Why did he make it a public example? So that he could get glory? No. So that that woman would no longer be an outcast. That he did that for her. He let all the people, the multitude that thronged him, all these people, he let them know, this woman is now clean because she touched me. Virtue has gone out of me and into her. She's now clean. You know, we used to have a thing at our church. The first Wednesday of every month, we would have prayer and praise. We called it prayer and praise. And anyone from the congregation, one at a time, would come up. We'd have an on-deck circle, a seat over here, and then one person behind the pulpit. We'd give them, like, you know, 5 minutes or so to get up and testify about what God was doing in their life, the goodness of God in their life. And I'll be honest with you. There were some people that would never miss a lick getting up and telling what Jesus Christ was doing in their life and giving God glory for it. And then there's some people that never, ever got out of their seat to come up and testify as to what God was doing for them. How, Christian, how can God be so good to you and to me and us not glorify his name as a result? Amen. To give him the glory, do his name. Yes, the Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse 7, that we were created for his glory. For his glory. Why do we remain silent when he's asking for us to glorify him? The Bible says there in verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? There was a large crowd pushing and shoving all around Jesus. But her hope overcame her fear. She had fear. Sure, she was afraid. Why do you think she came in behind? Why do you think she, you know, just reached forward and just didn't say, Jesus, it's me. Jesus, I need you to heal me, Jesus. Jesus, right now, listen to me. Besides of what Jairus wants to go see his daughter, besides what all these people are doing here, I want you to listen to me. I need you to heal me right now. She never said a word. She had enough faith that she said, if I can just touch. Amen. Just touch. That's all I need, just to touch. And then she would have been happy to just slink away and go back to where she came from. At least she'd been healed. But Jesus said, wait a minute, someone touched me. You're not getting away that quickly. Amen. Someone touched me. I put my virtue into someone, and I think you need to tell these people exactly what Jesus Christ, the Lord God, just did for you. Amen. And to testify. Christian, when's the last time you got up in this church and testified as to the goodness of God in your life? Have you had friends or family saved as a result of sharing Christ with them? Have you had health issues resolved, financial issues resolved? You didn't have a job and then you got a job and God was good to you. I mean, so many, God blesses us in so many ways. Amen. How often do we just get up and say, thank you, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me? You know, you just walk around your house, you can say thank you a million times when you turn that little faucet and water comes out. You go to the refrigerator and open it and there's actually food in there. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't have that privilege. Still using an outhouse. They don't have indoor plumbing. Boy, but yet we go through life like we deserve it. I have need of nothing. My goodness, and that's why I said to you the other night, and Pastor said it tonight, remember the day. Don't ever forget the day. To just give God glory for what he's already done. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, see, she was afraid, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, just like Jairus did. And told him all the truth. Now again, remember, Jairus is standing there still waiting for Jesus to go heal his daughter. And still hasn't said a word. Why are you taking all this time with this woman who's not dying? My daughter's dying. I came to you first. And Jairus the whole time is just being quiet, standing off to the side and waiting on the Lord. Faith. Faith. He believed. Folks, I do believe that emotional issues are real. God gave us emotions, sadness, joy, fear, excitement, anxiousness. He gave us these emotions. Now, yes, we need to keep our emotions under control. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We need to keep our emotions under control. But he did give us emotions. Jesus wept. Amen? He showed emotion. And this woman here was being healed emotionally. You know, we had a lot of emotions going on during 2020 and 2021 and all the COVID garbage that was going on. You know, I just had entered into evangelism and every door was shut to me due to COVID. My finances were dwindling because I was no longer pastoring. We were trying to flip RVs, you know, fixing them up and selling them. My wife was doing DoorDash. I was doing GoShare. I was doing RV tramp. We were doing whatever it took just to survive. And it was hard. And then at the same time, my dad died. And it was just a hard, hard time. And again, I told you, my best friend in the ministry had stage 4 cancer, and I thought he was going. It was a hard time. But all of that, God works together for good. Can we have faith during those kind of times, when times are hard, when times are difficult, when we need God? You know, did you ever think that God puts us in positions where we need him? Do you think God likes having a Laodicean church age where people say, I have need of nothing? But yet in the same book, the book of Revelation, he says, thou hast fallen from your first love. You've fallen from your first love, which used to be God. And what's happened? Well, probably my first love now is me, because I don't need you right now. Remember after 9/11? Everybody probably remembers where they were on 9/11. Remember after 9/11? Everyone's holding, we need God and trust God and all that. Where are those signs these days? Those signs are gone now. Now it's, you know, give the kids a choice as to whether they want to be a boy or a girl. It's a crazy world we live in. And sometimes God has to put the hammer down on some of us for us to look up and believe it was him, that he is the one that controls, he rules in the affairs of men. And Christian, he wants glory from us. I remember the first time I ever testified, I was shaking like a leaf. Our pastor opened it up for testimony, and God was just, you know, I was sitting there hanging onto the pew, and he was pulling me by the tie. He said, get up there, you coward, get up there, you old spineless jellyfish, you know, get up there. And God just, you know, he pulled me up. I was so glad afterwards that I had testified, but I was shaking like a leaf. But he deserved that. He saved me. And I told you, I was a professional lost person. And he saved me, set me free. How could I not glorify his name? If we got more in touch with Jesus, it's obvious that more of his virtue would flow into us. He deserves and enjoys our testifying of the virtue he shared with us and the healing that it brought us. We oftentimes neglect talking about emotional issues, but they are real and they affect us. She was private, she was fearful, she was disappointed, but she was still hopeful in the Lord. So she was healed physically, she was healed emotionally. Lastly, she was healed spiritually. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The Lord can heal you wholly, not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, entirely. God can heal you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But what does it require? It requires faith, hope, courage, trust, humility. That's what it requires. If he does this for you tonight, maybe there's something heavy on your heart, something that needs healing. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's spiritual. But if the Lord were to heal you, would you testify for him? Would you testify as to what God has done for you if he were to heal you? Maybe he's already done that healing. Maybe it took place last week, maybe it was last year, but you never had an opportunity to stand up and give God the glory for what he had done. Would you testify and tell the people, this is what God did for me. I want to give him glory tonight. I want to thank him publicly. That's what Jesus wanted out of this woman. I know you are. I know who you are. Why don't you now tell the people what God hath done for you? She came and fell at his feet and told all the truth. Again, let's come back for a second to think about Jairus. And what is he doing at this point? Maybe Jairus is saying, all right, now that you're done with her, can we now get back to doing what we were set out to do initially? He never said a word to him about it. He never pressed. He never showed his disgust. He never showed his anxiousness. He never showed his desperation. He had faith in the Lord. Now look at Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. No different than when Peter said, Lord, save me, and he stretched forth his hand. Amen. Only believe. Only believe. Same thing was done with a man that had a demon-possessed son in Mark chapter 9, and the Lord told him to believe. And straightway, it says in verse 24 of Mark 9, it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you're at a point of hopelessness, maybe you could say to the Lord tonight, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Strengthen it. I want to have the faith of this woman. I want to have the faith of Jairus. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to believe in you like they believed in you. I want to see you move in my life like you moved in their life. And I know it requires faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please you. And I want to have that faith. Help thou mine unbelief, Lord. Help. Maybe tonight the Lord is looking for you to push through the press. Yeah. You know what's the press tonight? All these people. All these people make up the press tonight. Maybe the Lord's asking you to push through all these people. Come up to an old-fashioned altar. Amen. And thank me for what I've already done. And then if there's something in your life more so that needs to be done, feel free to ask me. Feel free to ask me. And then if the pastor gives you liberty, testify of it. Testify what God's done for you. You know, you say, well, what's that going to do for me? Number one, it's going to make you feel wonderful after it's done.
Yes.
That you gave God some glory. But what does it do for your brothers and sisters in Christ? The Bible says to exhort one another daily. Pray for one another daily. Comfort one another. Love one another. Exhort one another. Yes. People in here might need some encouragement. And you getting up and standing up and saying, God, I want to thank you for what you've done for me. I want to have the faith of that woman with the issue of blood. He never gave her name. Her name didn't matter. I want to have the faith of Jairus, who just stood there while that woman was delaying you from getting to his daughter, and finally to have to get the news your daughter's dead. And yet Jairus didn't jump up and down and scream and start cussing the Lord and that woman for having delayed, because he still knew that God could change the whole thing. You might have some needs tonight. You know what the Lord might be asking you to do? Would you push through the press? Would you push through the press? Come to an old-fashioned altar? Give it to me with faith. Watch what I can do. And testify as to what God has done for you. Yes. She was healed. It said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Spiritual healing. Go in peace. Emotional healing, and the whole of thy plague, and be whole of thy plague, physical healing. We see all three. So the last verse I want to show you is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and then we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body, all three, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, God wants to heal you, not just spiritually or physically, or emotion. He wants to heal all three. He wants to sanctify you wholly. But you have to want it just as badly. But if you're at the point, Christian, where you've been hopeless as to how to fix this thing. I've got problems with relatives. I've got problems with kids. I've got problems, you know, in work. I've got problems with finances. I've got problems with I know somebody that can take care of all of them.
Amen.
But it's going to require some faith. Do you have enough faith with humility to walk an old-fashioned aisle, to ask God to help, and to testify as to the goodness of God in your life? Preacher?